We think about Palm Sunday, you think about that triumphal entry and the palm branches and holy, holy, holy. And he's coming in to bring us the forgiveness. He's coming in to make the sacrifice for you and for me, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I come to you today, you're gonna preach a little bit different message than maybe you were expecting to hear this morning, but I want you to turn to Luke chapter 23. You can go ahead and start turning there to Luke 23, and as we think about this, there's a word that keeps coming to my head and to my heart, and as I prepare messages and as I think through what it is that God wants me to share with our congregation, with this church, with those online, I just keep coming to this word of expectant. I'm expecting God to do something today that only he can do. And so you may be here and have some things going on in your heart, going on in your life, going on with your family, going on some kind of struggle that you're dealing with. I want you to know today, listen to me, that God offers forgiveness, that God loves you, that God has a plan for your life. And you may be here, you may be watching online and you're struggling. Listen close today. And maybe you're here or you're watching online, and you've been dealing with some bitterness in your heart. You've been dealing with some anger. You've been dealing with some unforgiveness. Maybe somebody's done some things to you or said some things to you or acted a certain way towards you, and you haven't been able to forgive. What I want you to follow with me today is the price that Jesus paid and the ability we have to offer forgiveness even when it doesn't feel like we're able to do that. I mean, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know the struggle that I'm dealing with. I'm expecting God to do something today in each of our hearts and lives that we would leave different, that you would turn your computer off at home different today because of what the Holy Spirit draws to you today, that you would just think and focus in on what God has for you. You may have come in with with something on your heart and something in your mind, and you've been thinking, this is just going to be a normal thing. I want you to think today, God, I'm expecting God to speak to you. Each one of you. Don't just point it to your neighbor and say, well, they need to hear it. Let's listen today to each one of us. What is it that God has to say to us? So if you want to join with me in standing, we're going to read in Luke chapter 23. Jesus crucified between two criminals, and we're going to see these verses that I've read a couple times here in the last month, but I want us to just focus in. Here's Jesus on the cross. He's been beaten, he's been humiliated, and he's along with two criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Let's look here in Luke 23 and start in verse 32. It says, two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. And when they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And pause there with me for a second, because I think we all understand this, that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. He could have come off the cross. He could have said, enough is enough. That's it. I'm coming down. God, save me. Father, pull me off, right? But he's on the cross with a criminal on either side. And look what the next verse says in Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the perfect life that you lived and the death on the cross, that you paid the price for my sins and the sins of this world. I thank you, God, for forgiveness that we have through you. I thank you that, God, we can turn our trust to you. We can put our faith in you and know that we're saved for all eternity. I thank you for each person in this room. I thank you for those that are watching online. And I pray that, God, your Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to speak in a way that only you can, that you would do something today to draw us to a place of forgiveness. That if we're not offering forgiveness to those who need it, if we've never been forgiven of the sins that we've committed, we've never invited you to save us, that God, today would be a day of salvation for those. And that for the Christians in the room, maybe we've struggled with letting go of some things, that some bitterness, some anger, some suffering that we've gone through. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would release us from that prison, and that you would just help us to offer the forgiveness needed. Bless us today. Let your Holy Spirit speak. Your name we pray. Amen. As you're seated, I want you to think with me. There's some notes online, or there's a place on the back of your bulletin this week that you can fill in. And I want you to just kind of think with me. That this these words that he prayed was a fulfillment of prophecy that in Luke 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, is a fulfillment of a prophecy from Isaiah 53, verse 12. And in that verse, he says, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for his transgressors, that he forgave those who were doing this to him. And it was a fulfillment of prophecy. The powerful words of forgiveness, because listen with me, these words changed everything. It changed everything. He's dying on the cross, and Father, forgive them. Forgive them for what they do. They don't know what they're doing. I want you to think with me about times that you've been harmed, that you've been hurt, that somebody's done something or said something to you. And as you think through these things, maybe there's some anger that rises up, and there's something that just wells up in you, because as human beings, when somebody does something against us, we feel a certain way. And our natural instinct, let me just tell you this, before Christ's response, I know that there are a lot of you in this room that you came to Christ at some point, but before you were a Christian, you maybe acted a certain way and responded a certain way to people. And if somebody did something wrong to you, you responded with force or with anger or with yelling or with any kind of response. Our human side of things before Christ is hopefully different than our post-Christ. Like coming to know Jesus, we're going to respond differently than when we did beforehand. And so in your notes, I put this a section there, the before Christ response, and that is almost always, you owe me and justice is mine. If you've done something against me, I'm going to pay it back. I'm going to get after you. It's the verse in Matthew 5:38, the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. I used to work for my dad in construction growing up as a teenager, and my dad, whenever he would have me hold like a spike or something, or he would hold the spike and we would have to hit it with a big sledgehammer, and he would stand there and he would be looking up, and I remember his eyes looking at me with kind of fear, because I'm a teenager swinging this big, you know, sledgehammer coming down, and if I missed it, it's going to slide and probably hit his hands or his arm or his face. And all you got to do is a simple Google search to see people getting hit in the face with sledges by the same type of thing. But I remember my dad looking up, and he would always make this statement. He would say, "You hit a me, I hit a you." And then the fear of, I don't want to swing this thing anymore, or I don't want to swing it as hard because I don't want to get hit that hard, but you hit a me, I hit a you. And that's our before Christ response. You owe me, justice is mine, I'm going to take care of this. If you do something wrong to me, I'm going to do wrong back. I'm going to hit you back. I'm going to hurt you worse than you hurt me. I'm going to respond in anger. I'm going to come at you like you don't even know. I'll get you back. I'll pay them back. I'll show them. I'm not a pushover. I'm coming after you. And sometimes, as Christians, we go back to that pre-Christ response, unfortunately. Sometimes things are done or said to us, and we respond in a way that is not Christ-like. And maybe there's some times that you're thinking of in your head and your heart today, and that's what I'm really hoping the Holy Spirit would convict and draw us to a place where we understand the things that we say, the things that we do have major consequences. There are things that we, the ways that we react that causes people to think differently about Christians because we respond in a pre-Christ way. So I want you to stop and think with me. The after Christ response is different. Instead of you owe me and justice is mine and I'm going to take care of it, the after Christ response is that God forgave me, so I'll forgive you. God forgave me, so I'll forgive you. You've hurt me. You've done things against me. You've said these things. You've made fun of me. You hurt me in this horrible way. And some of you, there's some things that happen in our lives. Some of them are small. Some of them are just tiny that we're going, you know what, that hurts. But some of you are represented here today, and you've had some major things that have happened, some major hurts, some major struggling, some major suffering. I talk to many of you. I know I've been in ministry for 25 years. I've seen so much hurt and so much suffering and so much bitterness and so much pain and anger and resentment towards people. And the thing that happens is it eats us alive. It's like a disease that gets in there. And when we don't offer this forgiveness, when God forgave me, so I forgive you. Instead, we go back to this old response of you did this and now you owe me. Now justice is mine. I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to make you suffer for the way that you did that. And when you stop and you understand that Jesus redefined forgiveness, he took forgiveness to a whole nother level. Those verses on the cross, he's there, he's been beaten, he's been mocked and laughed at and spit on. Father, forgive them. I don't know what they're doing. Forgiveness of our debts. Matthew 6, verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. When we think about it, being in the life of a Christian, in the life of a human being, this is a tough cookie to eat. When you stop to think about how much unforgiveness may be in your heart, things that people have said or done to you that you've held on for a long time. The bad thing is I read this week, it's like sipping poison and expecting the other person to die. They did something against me. They hurt me, and I'm sipping the poison. I'm holding on to this bitterness and this anger and this resentment, and I'm thinking it over how many times they've said that or they did that to me or they hurt me in that way, and it just crumbles us. And we go through our lives and we act like we're good Christian people, but there are things that we're holding on to, this unforgiveness. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not just First Baptist South Lebanon. It's not just the church. It's people in general, that we are broken human beings. There's sin that's entered the world and it enters our lives. And so often we allow these things to camp out so much that it starts to spread and infect us and make us weaker and weaker and weaker. The poison begins to spread and to settle in. The man, I can't forgive that person. You don't even know, Pastor. You don't even know how with the things they said. You don't know the things that they did to me when I was young. You don't know the way that they responded to me and how that hurt me. And I don't know, but I know this, that we read of this Jesus on the cross who took the sins of the world and he paid the price, offering forgiveness for you. God forgave you, and we need to forgive those who have done stuff against us. So we can sit here and we can act like we're good Christians and we can tie our ties tight and pull our nice clothes on Sunday and come to Easter because that's what we do. We go to church, but then we hold this and harbor this unforgiveness in our well, in the way that we're living and the things that we're a part of. And it slowly is decaying. And I want you to know right now that there needs to be a removal of some of those things. That today that we need the Holy Spirit to convict us of the things that we have not let go of. There may be somebody in this room that's done something, that said something to you, that's hurt you in some way, that you won't look at, that you won't walk down the hallway with, that you won't sit in the same classroom with, that you come in just late enough so that you don't have to see them. I want you to stop and understand that God paid too much of a price for us to hold on to stuff and to be bitter and angry and not live the way that God wants us to. We've got to forgive people. There are people that may be in your neighborhood that have done things to you, that have said things to you. You may be here and you've been hurt so badly. I want you to hear me, that their people are broken, that we are broken people. We have sin that just saturates our hearts and our lives. And Jesus came paying the price for our sins, your sins, my sins. And so how dare us not offer the same forgiveness to others? I want you to see a passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 18. If you have your Bible, flip over there. We're in Luke 23. Now I want you to flip to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving servant. I want you to see how important this is, what we're talking about. That Peter asked the question to Jesus in the beginning of this passage. He says, how many times should I forgive? In verse 21 of Matthew 18, Peter approached Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? You guys know this. Some of you know this, and you're already saying in your head 70 times seven, but I want you to stop, all right? Listen. Peter asked him, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? So we sit in a room like this, and people have sinned against us. They've said things. They've hurt us. They've done things. This church has gone through a lot. The church down the road has gone through a lot. Why? Because sin gets in and we allow these things like bitterness and anger and resentment to swell up, and we don't offer the forgiveness that's needed, and we don't remember the price that was paid, and we don't think about the fact that God forgave us, and so we need to forgive others. And so today, I want to point you to this story. Look with me at Matthew chapter 18. Look at what Jesus responds to Peter. How many times should I forgive? As many as seven? I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven, which is a lot, right? I'm not a math guy, but I could get Jim to answer. Verse 23, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He began to settle accounts, and one who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I was doing some research on this. If you were to make it to equate to today, some people say it's as much as $6 billion. All right, 6 billion, some say millions. I guess it depends on who you ask, but it's a lot of money. It's an extravagant amount of money that he owes. All right, brought him before him. Since verse 25, since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. And at this, the servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. Verse 27, then the master of that servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. We see this initial response, and we see that the king represents God, and the servant is us. That man, we have a big time debt that we owe, right? And we need forgiveness. We need something to happen. We need somebody to forgive us. So the lesson from the forgiven servant is there's some things that I want you to see, that the debtor can't always repay you. When we look at that scripture in verse 24 into 25, one of his debtors who brought him owed him millions of dollars, a different version said millions. Verse 25 said he couldn't pay. He didn't have the money. He did not have the money. And what I want you to stop and think about this is this. People have hurt you. People have said things. People have done things. And sometimes the debtor cannot always repay, cannot pay it back. We all have debt that we cannot repay. Stop and think about this. I'm not talking about a car loan or a house loan or something that you've borrowed for your daughter's Uggs. Think about, those are expensive shoes, I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm not talking about that. We all have debt that we can't pay. I'm talking about sin. You and I have sin in our lives. God paid it for us through Christ. God paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. And we all have a debt that we can't pay. The debtor cannot always repay. We can't pay for our sins. We can't live a perfect life as Jesus did. The sin that we've allowed to happen in our hearts and in our lives keeps us from being able to repay the debt. The second thing that I want to point out from this story, and we can kind of continue, is that the offended, the people who are offended, can always show mercy. Listen to me. We can always show mercy. Matthew chapter 18, verse 27. If you look, he released the master of the servant, had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. The offended can always show mercy. We can always show mercy. So if you're here, you're watching online, and you have some of this bitterness and the anger and resentment and unforgiveness in your heart, we can always show mercy. Always. Jesus did it for us, so we should be able to do it to others, to show forgiveness. Often, those who offend us don't even know that they have offended us. So when you stop and you think you may be mad at someone for something that they don't even know you're mad at them for. And so the offended, we can always show mercy and understand that people are dealing with things differently. People overlook things that they say or do, or and it may not have been done in an intentional way, as we think, oh man, they did that to get me. They did that to hurt me. They did that to try and shove me down. Often there are times where we don't even know. Jesus said on the cross, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. There are people in your life that have hurt you, that today is the day that you kneel at the altar and say, God, I just want to show mercy I don't have to hear them say, I'm sorry. I just want to show mercy and forgiveness and understand that you paid the price for me and say, I should let that go. I should show mercy. There are consequences for unforgiveness. And this is a hard one. Let me just tell you, can I get your eyes? If I look to each one of you in the eyes, I want you to understand, this is not easy for me to stand up here and to preach on forgiveness. Because there are things that I've done, the things that I've said, there are times where people have done stuff to me, and my natural response is to react in a certain way and to get angry and to respond in a human side of things. And when you think about the consequences for unforgiveness, I want you to understand this is a big deal. It's bigger than maybe we even talk about. It's bigger than we let on. Sometimes if you look back in Matthew chapter 18, the story continues. This man was just forgiven of millions, maybe even billions of dollars in today's world. And then he leaves. He's been let off the hook. He leaves and goes. And in verse 32, look with me in the passage, 32. Well, I skipped the part. Verse 29, 28. The servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And let me just tell you, it went from millions and billions to this is like 1,000, okay? He found a guy who owed him $1,000 and then he's ready to have him put out, right? He grabbed him and he starts choking him and says, pay what you owe. Listen. We go through life with this bitterness and unforgiveness and we go and we understand that Jesus paid this ultimate price and we turn and somebody does something to us and we're ready to choke them out. We're ready to hold that against them. We're ready to live the rest of our lives in anger and resentment towards them and to sit on the opposite side and not look at them and not be kind and not release that. And yet we see here in scripture the powerful consequence of unforgiveness, because what happens here in verse 32, if you skip down, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that he was owed, which he could not. We already learned that. And so also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brothers or sisters from your heart. The consequences of unforgiveness are major. This is a big deal. That on a big Sunday like Palm Sunday, we've got to understand that Jesus paid a massive price for your sin and for my sin. And then we go through life and people hurt us and we don't offer that same forgiveness and that same mercy and that same love that Jesus did. And yet we're supposed to be holy as he is holy. We're supposed to be set apart. We're supposed to be living like Jesus wants us to live. We're supposed to respond the way that he wants us to respond. And then we go in and we call ourselves Christians and say, yeah, but you don't know how hard how bad that was. You don't know what they did. You don't know how bad that was and how that hurt me so much. You think about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins and my sins. He paid the price for you. He chose to forgive, and we must choose forgiveness. We have to. So when you think about it, unforgiveness puts you in this prison. You're just bound to, man, I got to pay them back. I can't let them go. We deal with this hurt. And you think about how long, maybe there's some things that have happened that you've held on to for so long that maybe it's just on the back burner, but you still think about it. And if you think about the person, it raises the anger in your heart and your heart starts to race. I want you to understand that Jesus is trying to get your attention. God's trying to tell you, you gotta forgive. We can't go through life and be the kind of Christ followers we need to be if we're holding on to anger and resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. We have to offer this forgiveness to people who have done wrong to us. And you say, you know what? You don't know how big this is. You don't know how big of an offense it was. It seems way too big. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus on the cross had been beaten, verbally abused, abandoned by his father. Why have you forsaken me? And he chose to forgive you. He chose to continue. He chose to hang on the cross for your sins and for the sins of this world. Jesus' love is greater than any offense that could have happened to you.
Amen.
Jesus' love is greater than any offense that could have happened to me, to you, to us. And so when you think about the love that Jesus has for you, Matthew 18:33, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Today, my challenge is that you would release this unforgiveness, this bitterness, this anger, this resentment, the things that are holding you back. Our church, any church, will never be where it needs to be when there's bitterness and unforgiveness and things that you're holding on to. And you're saying, I want to follow Christ, but I'm holding on to this. I want to follow Christ, but you don't know how bad they hurt me. I want to follow Christ, but I'm not going to talk to that person. I want to follow Christ. I want to show God's love. I want to share Jesus' love to the 5-mile radius around this building, but you're holding on to this bitterness and anger and resentment, and it's causing decay in your heart and in your life. You're going through life with this feeling of hurt because you can't let things go. Today, maybe you kneel at the altar, maybe you just sit at the pew where you're at, and when we have this time of invitation, that you just say, God, I want to show mercy. I want to offer forgiveness. I want to go from this to this. I want to let it go. I don't want to hold on to it. I don't want to be held captive and in this prison of anger because I can't forgive. Maybe you just open your hands and say, God, I give it to you. God, I'm sorry. I want to offer forgiveness. And maybe today's the day that we leave different and we show mercy to those who have hurt us and have done wrong against us. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was falsely accused. He went to trial. He was rejected. His disciples rejected him. I don't even know him. He was abused. He was crucified on a cross. He was humiliated in front of everyone, hung naked on a cross, yet he forgave. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
There you go.
God's love is great.
Amen.
And so when you think about Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. As hard as it was, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. God, I want to let this go. I want you to help me to overcome this. You may have tried over and over. You may be sitting here and going, I wish you'd stop talking about this. And trust me, I want to stop. But for some reason, God laid this on my heart that we need to be expectant to expect to forgive and to let it go. And we can't truly live the way that Christ followers are supposed to live if we're holding on to this anger and this bitterness and this resentment. And we're going out into the world saying, I'm a Christian, but just don't do anything wrong to me. Don't say anything against me. Don't hurt me in any way. I want to show the love of Jesus to people, but I can't forgive my brother who hurt me or said something wrong to me. It doesn't line up, guys. It doesn't line up. And so as Christians, as First Baptist Church, as individuals, as families, let's offer forgiveness. Let's leave this service different. Let's not just come and listen to a happy message and walk out the same way we walked in, but let's listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And if there are some things, there's some unforgiveness, there's some bitterness, there's some anger, there's some rage, there's some hurt that's in there, we've got to let it go. We've got to forgive, and we've got to move forward with what Christ has for us. Our church will accomplish way more if we allow forgiveness to heal our hearts. If we don't sit in prison cells of our own going, you don't know how bad they hurt me. If I open it up and say, God, I want to forgive. God, help me to show mercy. It starts with a prayer of, God, I forgive, and I want you to help me to forgive. I want you to help me to show mercy.
Amen.
To those who have harmed me, those who have done something wrong against me. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. And as you stand to your feet, I want you to think about this. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that God paid the price for you. As we've been talking this whole time, God forgave so much. He forgave you of all your sins. He's paid the price for your sins, and you can accept
Judas, his gift of salvation,
and leave here today with forgiveness. Forgiveness. When I say, man, I understand that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross for my sins, and I can accept him as my Savior and my Lord. I can accept that forgiveness of my sin. He paid the price. He washed it white as snow. And if you're watching online or you're in the room and you've never accepted his gift, right now, today is the day of salvation. Right now, you can accept Jesus as your Savior.
So when you think about Matthew 6:14
and 15, it says,
knowing forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you.
This invitation is for you. If you need to accept
Jesus.
But
if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive
you. I'd love to celebrate with you.
Your sin.
Christians who are standing here looking me in the eye, if there are things that you need to forgive, that this is the time. Not for me, not for anyone else, but for the God who loves you and cares for you. The God who sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. He forgave you much. So you can forgive others. Maybe there's a time where you need to kneel at the altar. Maybe you need to sit at the pew where you're at. Maybe you need to sit on your couch at home and just close your eyes and surrender it.